Good evening. Well, thank Brother Robert for leading us in the songs this evening. We are blessed with song leaders. We are blessed with our brothers that will lead the prayers. Sometimes I say in the preaching, 2 out of 3 is not bad, is it? We're glad you're here. And I do appreciate the prayer. Always do. We don't always mention it, but appreciate it. This morning we began, I would say, a study here toward the end of the year and dealing with the subject of wisdom for the new year. We pointed out that we are confronted with choices every single day, and there's always a wise way to do something, and certainly there is a wise way to live, and we have the Bible to guide us in those ways. It's true that we make decisions, let's say about our bank account or maybe about our health, and we don't have all the details in the Bible, but the Bible does give us the principles whereby we can live a better life and a healthier life. And it would give us principles in dealing with our money. Some of them we will mention this evening. Of course, the primary purpose of the Bible is to glorify God, to teach us who God is so that people would love God. And I appreciate Brother Clifford talking about that love. We do stand amazed. We're not. I think the older we get, at least speaking from my viewpoint as a Christian, the more we are amazed at the love of God. I'm certain that I had an understanding of the love of God when I believed the gospel and obeyed it, but that understanding has a way of growing, doesn't it? It has a way of growing, and we see how much the Lord gave for us. We said this morning that we ought to grow in knowledge, and we spent our time pretty much on that subject, especially in the knowledge of God and the knowledge of Christ. I think sometimes in the church people have gotten to the point where they say, well, that's what the preacher is for. We paid a preacher to do that. Well, the preacher preaches, and it's true that Jesus said the labor is worthy of his hire. And Paul gives arguments in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 about supporting those that preach the gospel. And the Old Testament, New Testament talks about how beautiful their feet are, and that's because they carry the gospel of peace. But it is our obligation as Christians. And not only that, it is a privilege that we can open up the Bible, that we can study the Bible, and I would encourage you to do it every single day. You can start now. You don't have to start in January the 1st, but if you're not reading the Bible, I would encourage you to read it now. I do recommend this time of year as a good time to read from the book of Proverbs. It has so much wisdom in it, and it does not grow old. Our first point this evening, which would be our second in the lesson, is let us trust in the blessing of the Lord. In general, we like to do things for ourselves, and that's all right. God made us that way. But sometimes we trust ourselves a little bit more than we should. Primarily, we need to trust in the Lord and trust in His blessing. There's so many people that are worried about everything that can happen, things that do happen. They will happen. We are living in a world that is a lot of wickedness, a lot of sin. We're living in a world where anybody could have an accident at any time, even those presumably are in good health. We don't know. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth, we read. So we don't know what's going to happen, but we know who is in charge. I think one of the best statements in songs that we sang tonight, and this is my Father's world. I just love it every time I hear it. that though the wrong seem oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. I've told this, but we have people here that have not ever heard it. I suppose the brethren may have forgotten. But there was a very famous preacher by the name of C.R. Nichols, and he was very popular in the church, converted many people. He wrote the Nichols Handbook on the Bible, just a little handbook. You may have that, or you may have seen that. But in a biography about his life, Brother Nichols was walking, I think he was going to the services, and some of the members saw him and said, "Brother Nichols, you look like you own the world." And without missing a step, he said, "I don't, but my Father does." And that's true. We don't own it, but God owns it. And God will bless us with wisdom. In James chapter 1, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth liberally unto all men, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." Liberally. God wants to bless us with wisdom. But as we said this morning, we must be interested in and seeking to have that wisdom, and listening to the instruction of wisdom, and observing wisdom. Maybe later this evening you might want to read from Proverbs chapter 6. You see, Solomon watched the ants, and he learned from watching the ants. "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise." So we learn from observation, we learn from experience, and we pray for it. Well, I don't know about you, but since the Lord said, "Give us this day our daily bread," I pray that. I've got a lot of food in the freezer. A lot of food. We got a lot, quite a food in the pantry. But the Lord said, "Give us this day our daily bread." When the Lord said that, we don't expect people to come to the door every day and bring everything. So we say the prayer, we count on God doing it, and then we get up and we go to work. We labor in this world. The same is true with wisdom. We ask God for wisdom. There's no doubt God's going to answer that prayer. And I'll be first to tell you, I don't know all the ways that God answers prayer providentially. But I know that if you listen to wise people, you can be wise. If those are your closest friends, you're not going to do too bad. Many years ago, I still remember, my father was probably 35 to 40 years old, pretty young. And I remember him telling me, he didn't give me a lot of advice, but part of the advice that he gave was, "Dan, you need to listen to the old men." He said, "You need to go out," and he would do that. He would go out and talk. I could give you their names. He would talk to old farmers. He would go to the end of the street and talk to a man that had fought in World War I. I still remember sitting on his porch in the rocking chairs. But my dad, I don't remember what he said much. When he died, his daughter gave me a flag that he had. I'm certain it's got 48 stars on it. You don't see too many of them. He probably had it all his life from the war. So we need to listen to wisdom. It's out there. It's available. Take it. I have a little book on Yogi Berra. Yogi Berra was very humorous in his speech. Some of you maybe have come across his statements. But one of them that pretty much everybody likes, he said, "When you get to the fork of the road, take it." You know, which way? Just when you get there, take the fork. If you're traveling and there's a fork, you're going to take it. I know what he was saying. You know, he was saying, you're going to get to some time in life, and you're going to come to a fork, and you're going to have to make an important decision. And it may be a very, it may be a very serious and costly thing, but he's saying, you take that road. That's the way I understand it. You take that road. And certainly that's true in reference to the gospel. Everybody is confronted with a choice. Everybody here tonight has a choice. If the Lord lets you live, you have choices tomorrow. Make the right choice in light of God. Trust in the blessing of the Lord. Proverbs 10 and 22. He says, "A blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it." So there's something Solomon's talking about, that God blesses us. And that when God blesses us, it seems to be material things, but it's true more importantly in the spiritual realm. But when God blesses us, when we're living a righteous life, and we're laboring and we're working, God blesses us. We need to recognize, and I think everybody here does, recognize that God blesses us, and He adds no sorrow to it. Now, people that don't live right, they go out, they cheat, they're dishonest. They steal. They don't operate like that. They don't get the. They're not going to receive that blessing. They're not going to receive that blessing. They're going to have sorrow with it. And unfortunately, many people have that. But all through the Bible, from Genesis to the end, we have God blessing us, especially His children. And sometimes we, brethren, like in Revelation chapter 2 and the church at Smyrna, they were in poverty. They didn't have a lot. They were poor, but He said they were rich. Everybody here that's a Christian is rich. We're rich in faith. We have the riches of God's grace. We have the hope of eternal life, Titus 1 and verse 2. Promise of eternal life, 1 John chapter 2, I believe verse 25. So we have that hope and that promise, and in the world to come, God has made it and God will keep it. So we trust in God and trust in the blessing of God. Let me ask this question in light of Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 to 34, which says, "Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Or consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not like one of these." All of his glory. Well, God promises in that chapter not to be worried about everything, not to be anxious about everything. Trust in the blessing of the Lord. And I know people here have done that. We may not have a lot in the physical realm. That's not the most important thing. The most important thing is the soul, and to be rich in faith. David said in Psalm 34, verses 8 to 10, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him." Now, we just had a celebration of Thanksgiving as a nation to God. I like that. In my prayer, I ask God to bless our nation, and I thank Him that as a nation, this day has been set aside. I know we thank God every day. Everybody should thank God many times during the day, but I really like the ideal that as a people, as a nation, as part of our culture, that we recognize and give God the glory and thanks for our blessings. What did you eat at Thanksgiving? Did you eat very much? I don't think most of us held back too much, right? Yeah, I do. We had some this morning making fun of my stomach a little bit. Of course, they need to look at themselves. But no, we ate that food. And sometimes you have something at Thanksgiving, if you're like at my house, something maybe cook a little different. Maybe you've not tasted before. Taste it. You get to the fork of the road, take it. Taste it. Then He says, you taste the Lord. You see, what are you going to find out about the Lord? That He is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. But you've got to have faith. That's what we mean by trust. But your things can go wrong. Sometimes things go wrong. I knew of a lady that had a baby born premature in Mississippi. It was only so many weeks old, wasn't very old, and everybody prayed for the baby. The baby died. The woman said, "I'll never, ever go worship God again." She wasn't a member of the Lord's church, but she believed in God and worshiped God in her own way. I was told later on that she changed on that. That would be a sad thing, wouldn't it? Because God never said that bad things are not going to happen to His children. They happen all the time. But His children trust in Him, no matter what. Job said, "Though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him." That's a remarkable statement. Psalm 34 and 9, "O fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him." David looks out with a lifetime of experience, a man who for years had to flee from King Saul, had to take his mother and father and hide them in the land of Moab so that they would be safe from his own people, from King Saul and the enemies that were trying to destroy David's life. And he understood that God watches over his people. God takes care of his people. In verse 10 of Psalm 34, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. They that seek the Lord. So we trust in God. Going back to Matthew chapter 6, he got down to the end of that discussion. Didn't he say, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God will take care of it. God will provide, no matter what. I thought about this verse many years ago, did a little reading on it. I try to read on these Psalms and Proverbs. Psalm 30, the Psalm about the lions. Psalm 34 and verse 10. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. You ever wonder why he said the young lions lack? I believe this is the understanding on that passage. They're not really that good on their prey to begin with. Even the lions have got to learn how to seek their prey. And so what happens? The older one, he knows how to do it. But the young lions, they don't know how to do it yet. They don't have it mastered. So more than the older ones, the young lion's going to lack until he gets trained. But he said, those that are righteous, those that seek the Lord, shall not want any good thing. And then again, the general principle in life, and I say that in Psalm 37 and 25, another psalm of David, I have been young and now I'm old. Some of us can say that. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. So we trust in God. Nobody can trust in God for you. Your mom can't do it. Your dad can't do it. Your friends can't do it. Your husband can't do it for you. Wife can't do it. You have to trust in the Lord. You have to have faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. I have one other thing I want to mention this evening. I don't want to have a lot that we can't remember. This morning I'd say, remember just one word, knowledge. The importance of knowledge. And then in this last point that we are to trust in the blessing of the Lord, just remember the word trust. Now you've got a little bit of outline that you can take home this week. Grow in knowledge, trust in the Lord. And I'm going to read it this way. Let us be more merciful. We could just say, let us be merciful. But if you're anything like me, I need to be more like that. I need to be more like that. Because it's hard sometimes to be merciful. Some of you are more merciful than others. I have met some brethren that I don't know, they just amaze me how merciful they are with people. When I think of mercy, I think of the ideal to begin with of a judge. And the judge has to make a ruling. And somebody is brought before him, maybe it's an older person. And this person primarily has lived a good life, primarily has been obedient to the law, but for some reason this person broke the law and did something, and they have to stand before the judge and give an account. I know that this does happen. If you listen to the television carefully, and you know that even the lawyers here the past several months have talked about this principle, and that is that the judge could say, you know, this was wrong, but it's really not going to contribute to this person's life nor anybody else's benefit for the particular thing that was done. Said, I'm going to have mercy. Mercy generally is defined as something that is given out that people don't deserve. Do we really deserve God's mercy? All have sinned, come short of the glory of God, Romans 3 and 23. But God stretches his hand out with mercy. Every time I preach, every time anybody that's faithful preaches, they're preaching that God is stretching out his hand in mercy, wanting to save people. That's why Jesus came down from heaven. In Proverbs 11 and 17, the merciful man doeth good to his own soul. I don't think people are acquainted with that passage. You generally think, well, I'm going to have mercy, and you're thinking, you know, you're doing good to somebody else. He says if you do that, you're doing good to your own soul. But he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. People that are cruel, people that are wicked, people that are evil, it's not even healthy for them. That's not healthy to live that way. Matthew 5 and 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I would say probably the rule is, if in doubt, be merciful. It's a kind of kindness that can be offered. God is loving and God is merciful, even unto the unthankful. And when I read that, that's a challenge to me. Be merciful even to those that aren't thankful. In Proverbs 14 and 21, he that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. There's a lot of poor people in our country. We've mentioned many times about the people that have been involved in the flood and the storm. And it's the general rule that you can't get flood insurance as a rule. Very often, you just can't get it. I've seen people on the television talk about it, and it's true. Some people, certain areas, they just can't, they lose everything that they have, and sometimes even their loved ones. So he says, happy is he that extends mercy on the poor. Proverbs 14 and 22, do not err that devise evil. Do they not err, I'm sorry, that devise evil? People that devise, you come up with strategies to do evil. We're seeing that a lot, aren't we? Don't be a part of that, ever. He said, but mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good. So you got two types of people in the world. You got those that devise evil, those that devise good. Very often when I hold a funeral and have to do the speaking at the funeral, I will make this statement in reference to Christians. I hope it would be said of me, the world has been blessed because this person lived a good life. Not a sinless life, but a good life. The world is blessed with God's children. In Proverbs 14 and 31, he that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker. How many people will oppress and don't care about the poor, don't care about the needy? They don't think about the fact that they are reproaching the maker. God has made us. But he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. So when you help the poor, when you help the needy, you're honoring God. You're honoring God. There's a statement in Acts chapter 20 that is one of the most beautiful statements in all the Bible, and it has something most unusual about it and unique about it, and that is, we have the life of Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we have in a condensed form, because all the books in the whole world would not contain the things that need to be written. But we have a condensed form of the Lord's words. And then all of a sudden, in Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul tells us something that the Lord didn't say directly and exactly in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. It's like it's another ray of light in another book, the book that deals with the conversions and the establishment of the church. And in Acts 20 and 35, Paul says, I've showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. I love that statement, don't you? Here it took an inspired man. The Lord appeared unto Paul, gave him this revelation. And Paul says, he tells us something that's not found in those books. Not like that. Not in those exact words. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Anybody that's ever done that, you know the truth of that. The man that baptized me into Christ one day was helping somebody and giving them something that they needed. I'm certain it was probably some money. And they said, "I can't take that." And he said, "You have to take that." They said, "Why do I have to take that?" "Because you're going to rob me if you don't take it." They looked at him and said, "What do you mean you're going to rob me?" He said, "You're going to rob me of my blessing. Because the Lord said it's more blessed to give than to receive." That was the man that baptized me into Christ. Now we're going to sing a song about the fountain tree. If you're not a Christian, you have to believe in the Lord. Acts chapter 8 says you have to believe in Him with all your heart. I don't think it would mean a lot if it wasn't 100% with all of your heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. So you trust in the Lord. Should prompt you to obey the Lord. To repent and be baptized as the Spirit guided the apostles in Acts 2:38. To believe and be baptized. An Ethiopian eunuch was not ashamed to say, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." You need to respond to God's invitation. The fountain free, Revelation 22 and 17, the Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." Let him that heareth say, "Come." Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Is that your will? Is that your desire? I hope so. You come as we stand and as we sing.